on the Big Sports Breakfast. For a look at rugby league, here's the Daily Telegraph's Paul Kent.
Well, what a treat this is, our Thursday expert on the Big Sports Breakfast. My microphone drooping a little bit. That's been a problem in the past, but I'll try and make that stay there.
Come on, easy.
He's Paul Kent from the Daily Telegraph, NRL 360. Hello, Kenty.
Hello, TK. I wasn't sure whether it was a metaphor or not.
It was a metaphor.
No comment.
It was a metaphor.
Sorry. Mate, exciting times. This is a very, very dramatic day with rugby league. Unfortunately, the passing of Terry Fernley, the line in the sand from Manly regarding Daly Cherry Evans, the flashing comments from Wayne Bennett at the NRL Integrity Committee, and plus we've got a game kicking off tonight.
Yeah, I tell you what, rugby league's back, isn't it?
Did it ever go away over the off-season?
No.
Well, they've ramped it up a bit, haven't they, for the opening, because all this talk about we're trying to lead into the big South Brisbane game tonight, and I'm particularly looking forward to Parramatta Manly tomorrow night, yet here we are with Integrity units and players going to other clubs days before the kickoff. It's just welcome to rugby league once again.
It was funny. I was watching NRL 360. Congratulations on the show. Three nights a week.
Three nights, yep.
God.
How many to go?
87 to go.
You don't look tired at all this morning, no. You look very sparkly and bubbly.
You basically
broke the news last night to Jeff Tuvey on the show that the contract offer had been withdrawn.
Yeah, he looked to be genuinely
stunned.
Yeah, we were getting in our ear that, that it was being reported that Daly Cherry Evans was heading to the offer had been withdrawn by Manly, and so as we're getting it in our ear, we're asking Jeff Tuvey about it, and he was sort of looking at us, and then we went to sort of a bit of a break, and he sort of whispered to me, he said, I don't know if that's right. Then it came through that Joe Kelly had actually confirmed it, so I wrote on my little piece of paper, Joe Kelly has confirmed it, and he just looked at me, and you could see the confusion in his eyes about what is going on at his club, because I don't think poor old Tuz has had a lot to do with this negotiation process, and he's finding this out on air as we're talking, that his number one player is potentially about to leave the club. But the other part of it too, I said to him off air after the show, I said, does this mean there's more chance now you'll keep Kieran Foran because there's more money in the bank? He said, no, that doesn't mean that, because he said, with your salary cap, it's all about putting the pieces together. So just because you don't spend the money on one player, it doesn't really mean you've got that then to spend on another player, because you've still got to go out and find someone.
Leaves you short of a halfback.
Exactly. So that's what they've got to do. So they are looking at a couple of kids coming through. Obviously, nobody of the calibre of Daly Cherry Evans. But that doesn't necessarily mean that if for example, they're offering each player $1 million a season, that they can now offer Kieran Foran to stay for $2 million.
And so, when it comes to Kieran Foran, I think Daly Cherry Evans, it might be a matter of money, but in terms of staying for Foran, it might be a little bit more.
More about footy.
More about footy and what he might learn there under certain coaches.
Foran, his whole discussion, money has not even come up yet. It's all been about he wants to keep improving as a footballer. Daly, not quite so much. That's been the subject of the conversation.
Well, if he goes to the Gold Coast, that's confirmation. That's not a bit massive priority.
Yeah, exactly. Look, I think he's going to go to Cronulla. Cronulla is certainly in front right now. So if we're talking about where does he go now, the smart money is on Cronulla. We just have to wait and see how long that's going to take, because that's going to be the next big distraction. Mm. Because these kids, I know it's a big decision, but for their managers to basically try and raise the subject now, season kickoff, I think is pretty poor timing.
Hats off to Joe Kelly for mine. My personal opinion, you've got to have a time limit on that offer, and the images of Daly being shopped around is not a terrific image for the brand of your club.
Well, it was given a deadline at midday Monday and was told that midday Monday we need a decision. Obviously, a couple of days had elapsed since we broke it last night. Yet still, no comeback from Manly. From Daly Cherry Evans and his manager. They let that deadline elapse. Joe Kelly basically was boxed in the corner where a good administrator had no choice but to do that.
It was a big test for him straight up.
It was a big test, 100%. And you know what? He passed it with flying colours. Mm.
There's plenty more coming his way at Manly as well. Yeah. So unfortunately,
welcome to the jungle, baby.
He's a good man to have in that position. Wayne Bennett, when he talks, there's always a reason and there's always an agenda. And he was quite explosive in Brisbane yesterday when, without a great deal of prompting, and he might have even been asked to be prompt, or someone asked to be prompt, but Wayne launched into the NRL Integrity Commission saying he'd lost faith and confidence in the integrity process within the National Rugby League. It's a damning blow.
Oh, Wayne Bennett is the godfather of coaches, as we know, and he's somebody who the NRL puts a lot of stock in what he says, doesn't he, Webby?
Absolutely.
They really value his comments. So for him to come out and say this, it's a knife to the heart for the NRL, but he's 100% right.
Yeah, of course he is.
Because clubs now have this attitude. After watching what's happened recently with South Sydney, I've not spoken to a club who has said it was a good decision or they did the right thing. Every other club, I was talking to a coach yesterday, it's quite interesting, who said to me, he said, mate, our players, he said, they operate in their own world. He said, they've got no idea what's happening at head office. He said, that's just the nature of players. He said, but they're all laughing about South Sydney. How did they get away with that? And unfortunately for the NRL, that is the mood around the game.
Mm.
And they had an issue with half a dozen clubs before this season started. But this just tipped the rest on side with those.
I thought your column in the Telegraph earlier this week absolutely nailed it. There's such a lack of faith from the clubs in head office at the moment. And you'd be hearing it as much as I do. But remember the integrity unit was brought in to make sure all this inconsistency left when it came to off-field behaviour. And ever since
that was their charter.
That was their charter. That's why they brought it in. It came in after the USADA, off the back of the USADA thing, but we were told it was going to be consistent.
Yeah.
And they've just seemed to be making up fines as they go along. And Suzanne Young, and you nailed it in one, this corporate gobbledygook that comes out of every single executive at the NRL, it's a working man's game, Kenty. No one understands what they're saying.
But you know what?
That's how they like
it. It's all.
I'm not smart enough to understand what they're saying.
That's how they like it. For Dave Smith to stand up on the Gold Coast and say this is a great day for rugby league when we just had another club go under.
Well, Dave Smith's got a political advisor advising him and he sounds like a political man. The other thing is Suzanne Young got up the other day and she started talking systems and processes. We'll keep going through but she won't explain what they are because, you know, I dare say she doesn't know what they are. But even if she does, they're that rubbish at the moment that they're not working, so they don't want to reveal what those systems and processes are. But while ever you sound intelligent saying systems and processes and we'll go through a review process and we'll go through and we'll look at precedents. She kept saying, we'll look at precedents. Well, hang on. Precedents are now, don't report, say nothing. If the media happens to find out, then we'll get a 20,000 fine, which isn't so bad. Let's remember when this integrity unit, and this is the great con of rugby league, when this integrity unit first started, and Webby, you would have experienced this, a lot of coaches particularly, but other club officials, all sort of dropped the con on us. Well, listen, we won't be able to get away with anything now. You guys are onto everything, like the integrity unit. We won't be able to do this or that. And straight away you knew that you were getting played because that was their way of saying, no need to make any phone calls, mate, because the integrity unit is supposed to know. Whether they report or not, well, that's another matter. And as we've seen over time, let's just look at a couple of examples here. Nathan Peach last year was at a party.
Yeah.
And a girl kept harassing him, which is
not
uncommon in rugby league. In the end, he told her to go several times. She didn't leave, and he pushed her away. Her father was unhappy about that, and he wrote to the NRL, and the NRL said, we don't like this. So the NRL said to Parramatta, you need to stand him down. Parramatta thought, oh, well, he didn't really do a lot. He shouldn't have done what he did, but he didn't really do a lot. Like, to stand him down for one game, for that's a bit severe. The integrity units, no, we're tough, stand him down. So they stood him down for a game. Then he came back, played a game, and then the integrity said, no, not severe enough, stand him down for another game. So he got stood down for two games. In Arizona, one player refuses to leave a bar, another player assaults a bouncer. He hasn't missed a game. He won't miss a game. The club tried to cover it up and was fined $20,000 for trying to cover it up, of which they've not blamed anyone. The NRL has not named anyone whose fault it was.
No,
so it's a blameless crime.
They talk about transparency. So I try to get this out of the league this week. They won't tell us how much Sutton and Burgess were fined by South Sydney at all.
Because it was minimal, and they're embarrassed by how small the fine was.
Well, that's the only conclusion you can come to when they don't tell you what the fine is.
I can guarantee you that, Webby. I know the fine. If the fine is a certain amount, I know Sutton manager would have walked in. Say, for example, the fine was 10 grand, which it wasn't. It was well below that. If it was that, then Sutton's manager would have gone, gee, that's a bit heavy.
Well,
he didn't even receive a breach notice over the size of the fine. So he just said, whatever it was, they've just passed and Sutton's just agreed to pay it.
Good as gold.
Yeah. Look, really, quasi police officers within sports organisations, I don't think work unless Ray Murray, he's probably in charge of them. So
but there's
going to be more and more issues coming.
I was at the races the other day and I was talking to Peter Vlandy's there, and I said to him, I said, why wouldn't they have gone after somebody like Ray Murray?
Well, they should have. Yeah.
You know what? Ray Murray, he actually said, because he'd helped them with the Tandy inquiry.
He sent
and
a briefing,
things.
I know that.
Yes. Did not get a phone call from the NRL. Ray Murray, the most respected steward in racing around the world, did not get a phone call from the NRL about their integrity in it.
So too late for the NRL to change it.
Yep.
They could change it.
Now, let's move on to some footy if we can.
Oh, they're playing this weekend.
it's a cracking time. I actually mentioned, I think, of all the coaches, I'm not talking about sack coaches. I'm talking about coaches being under pressure. I've named W. Bennett only because of what happened at Newcastle and the fact of the high expectations in Brisbane. And he's got a pretty good lineup. There's been some big recruiting. You know, he understands he's under pressure.
Oh, I've got no doubt. He thinks, he knows he's under pressure, but he's also back at Brisbane where he rules the roost. And
loves it.
One of his problems at Newcastle was he had a side that wasn't prepared to do what was required to, in his eyes, win football games. Back at Brisbane, he's got the authority, he's got total control of the club, that if there's players there who he doesn't think buy into what the Broncos are about, and he can move them on. It was interesting listening to Gordon Tallis last night, who basically was not a fan of Wayne returning, but has said since he has returned, there's been a real buzz around Brisbane.
The
Godfather's
love
back.
Yeah.
They do. They
and
love
him. He took
him.
Control. He got rid of players. He brought back Darius. He didn't care, you know. He just
the boss is back in town.
That's him. Yeah.
And so once that happens in Brisbane, you know they're going somewhere. So I think there is a lot of pressure on Wayne. I think, obviously, poor old Tuz, who I really like, I think he's the coach under most pressure because the moment his two playmakers, certainly one looks like he's about to go somewhere else and the second might, that is going to make it very hard. And I'll tell you why I feel sorry for Tuz, because when he took control of that club, people underestimate how good a job he's done, because when he took control of the club, and nobody knows this, is his salary cap was in disarray. He had players at that club who, for example, Foran and Cherry Evans, who were both on contract to come off at the same time. He had other players at the club who were getting way above what they should have been getting paid. He had other players, very good players, like Steve Maddow, who were getting far less than what they should have been getting. And what that made was it made the club very vulnerable for rival offers, and it made them vulnerable to poor football because he couldn't move on the poor players he didn't want there, but he inherited them. Now, why he inherited them, well, that's a whole other story. And I was talking to Scott Penn about it the other night, and I asked him about it, and he just rolled his eyes. He didn't want to talk about it.
TK Webby with Paul Kent from the Daily Telegraph, NRL 360 in the studio, talking rugby league. We've gone through the coaches under pressure, Wayne Bennett, the likes of obviously Jeff Tuvey at Manly, and more issues keep popping up all the time. We've had the passing too, the sad passing of Terry Burnley. I was relating earlier the stories of I was in Brisbane 85, my first full year there.
Oh, really?
And
yeah.
Of course, the sacking of the four Origin legends on that kangaroo tour of the Kiwis. Geez, didn't that cause some...
Well, it changed the game. From that moment on, there was never allowed to be an Origin coach Australia. So, and which is what ruled Mal Meninga out a couple of years ago when the job was available before Tim Sheens took it. I think, Webby, you're probably the best one to talk about this because Terry Fernley's great. One of his great contributions to rugby league was he actually introduced Jack Gibson to the teachings of Vince Lombardi. And as we all know, Jack then just changed the world the way he introduced that.
I've talked about this a bit earlier in the show. That was the, was basically the start of the professional ball rolling in, in rugby league. In the 70s and then the 80s and onwards, it was it was the Vince Lombardi second effort motivational tape that he that Fernley had shown him, and Jack turned around and he said, brother, that's the hottest thing I've ever seen. And he showed it at Dragons training where Jack was coaching at the time to all three grades. They won for 7 weeks in a row, didn't lose a game across all three grades. And then it prompted them to go to America, and they met Dick Nolan, who was the coach of the San Francisco 49ers, and that started a friendship between Jack and Fernley and Dick Nolan, and they just picked up idea after idea after idea from American football.
And I think Parramatta fans owe him a real debt of gratitude too, because it was Terry Fernley. Not only got Parramatta to their first grand final in 1976, but he was also the coach who recruited the likes of Peter Sterling. He got Ray Price there. He convinced Mick Cronin to come from up from Gerringong. And obviously that just led to the golden era of Parramatta, 4 premierships, and they haven't been sighted off Nobby since.
There's been a couple of grand finals, don't forget that. I often wonder actually where the world of rugby league or coaching anywhere in the world would be without Vince Lombardi. Because, you know, if we mentioned Wayne Bennett being the godfather, I think Wayne would even give credit to, other people, Aussie coaches, but also Lombardi.
Well, up until that point with Fernley and Gibson, the coach wasn't really the, you know, authority figure they are today.
Jack created the captain.
He's the captain. Yeah, it was the captain.
It was the captain of the side.
They had selectors.
They had selectors and they had the captain. And the coach, basically, he just made sure they got out in the field on time. Mm. And that was essentially it. Jack made coaching important in Australia.
Absolutely.
There's no doubt about that. And that's why he was the coach of the century in 2008. And that's why the game has changed. Look, it's interesting about Vince Lombardi, because Vince Lombardi had this tremendous ability to basically boil things down. But he also had his own. I think Red Blake was a former West Point coach. Vince Lombardi, who he trained under. Maybe we'd go back to Red Blake if it wasn't Vince Lombardi, but that second effort one, which the interesting thing about that second effort thing, and if anybody's out there hasn't seen it, you should try and look for it because it's tremendous. But the interesting thing about that, it was actually made not as a coaching instruction guide, but as a motivational thing for carpet salesmen.
Well, that's why Fernley had it, because he was a car salesman.
Oh, really?
That's why he had hold of it. But there's some other stories from that trip that Fernley and Gibson had in America that were, you know, I think they were enjoying themselves at the Desert Sands Casino in Las Vegas and stuff.
Now that is different.
With Frank and Jimmy and
Kenny, good to have you in.
And
we look forward to our conversations on Thursday mornings.